The destination of this coach is Hazard, Kentucky. We're due there at 5:15. For your convenience, there's a restroom located in the rear of the coach.
You gonna get sick? Huh? Oh my God! He's coming at you!
All right. When it comes to 2-year-old Olivia James, you are not the father.
You've irritated the tool gods. You must now be smeared with the holy grease of disdain.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. It's JG's Radio Free Insanity with your host, James Gutman. Yo, Gutman, what's the ish?
That's right. Thank you, guys. As you just heard, my name is James Gutman. You are listening to JG's Radio Free Insanity right here on WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. Today is Friday. It is November the 11th. It's 2005. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in. We got a pretty good show for you today. We have Matt Morgan, who's going to be joining us here. Matt, of course, was on Tough Enough 2. He was also in the main event of Survivor Series 2003, and most recently was in WWE doing the gimmick of a stutterer, standing by as the bodyguard for Carlito. Matt Morgan, a huge guy, big guy, and he has a big announcement, and he'll be making it today, so that'll be pretty cool. That'll be coming up later on in the show. I think you guys will enjoy it. Other than that, we've got a lot of things to talk about this week as far as things going on in the wrestling industry. Let me give you some quick in-house notes so you know what you can expect to find on the site and what you can find up there right now. If you go and take a look, Dr. Tom Pritchard's new column is up, where he looks at what makes a good coach. And this article, if you guys get a chance to check it out, is one of Dr. Tom's most honest, really just an honest article and a breath of fresh air out of a lot of the articles that you might find online. Tom Pritchard really doesn't hold anything back. He answers a lot of his critics. He talks about people who come up to him and say, you know, you're not Shawn Michaels and things like that, and people who kind of try to cut him down so that they can discount his opinions. But Dr. Tom really has a good way of presenting himself and definitely knows his strengths, knows his weaknesses, and this article, I think, definitely illustrates that. I want you guys to take a look and check that out. Also, part two just went up early this morning, late last night, of my 10 names of people who invite abuse. This is something that I wanted to do for a while. It's kind of a fun thing to do. In wrestling, just like any other form of entertainment or anything, there's certain names that we have that invite abuse. In sports, they have it. For example, if it was the 1980s, you couldn't make a drug joke without having someone bring up, you know, Dwight Gooden. That was a big thing, even now. but as a kid in New York, I can tell you that. And things like with musicians, there's John Tesh, there's Barry Manilow, there's certain people, whether deserved or not, who are always brought up as a name to mock, and wrestling is no different. We have those names. So I did the top 10 of those. I did them into two different parts. Of course, people are going to disagree with some of them. That's totally cool. It's actually part of the reason why we do these lists. So if you guys don't agree with it, stop by the message board and let your voice be heard. I'm sure that you know some people who deserve to be on there as well. So if you get a chance, check that out too. Other things we have going on the site, just want to welcome Bob Igo. He's going to be our new SmackDown guy. He's been doing it for the last 2 weeks. Tonight he officially takes over. He becomes the new reviewer of all things SmackDown. That'll be starting tonight. Also on the site, if you get a chance to check out, Mad Dogs has a new column up. Zaw has a new Shake in My Head, so check that out as well. We have a lot going on. Some more reviews, Edge of the People's DVD review section. Insanity Trivia has arrived, so check that out as well. We have a lot going on, guys, so I do invite you to keep checking back to www.worldwrestlinginsanity.com. The website that would not exist if it wasn't for the insanity that exists in pro wrestling. Speaking of the insanity in pro wrestling, let's talk a little bit about this new mass exodus in WWE that saw Christian down to the company to apparently go to TNA this Sunday. So if you're listening to this after Sunday, Christian might already be old news by now, but apparently Christian Cage, Jay Rezzo, is ready to debut for TNA Genesis at their pay-per-view on Sunday. And one of the amazing things about Christian is that apparently he has trademarked his name, Christian Cage, a name that he used on the independent scene. For those of you keeping score, Edge also wrestled as Sexton Hardcastle, so... Yeah, like the two of them, I think we're going for some porn parts or something. But anyway, Christian was Christian Cage on the independent scene, trademarked that name, which was smart as hell. So now the guy can go to TNA or whatever promotion he decides to go to, and in this case probably TNA, and wrestle as Christian Cage, meaning that the announcers can refer to him as Christian, since that is technically his first name. Now, the thing with Christian, it isn't even so much the fact that he left WWE or the fact that he's going to TNA that makes the huge splash. I think the deal with Christian is that he's the first person to really, truly have a good enough spot in WWE that to leave it of his own free will, it sends definite signals to other performers on the card. Now, this isn't the kind of thing, and I say this a lot of weeks, where you have to be in wrestling to understand the situation. If you work at any company, you know exactly what the situation is all about. The way it works is people are miserable within WWE. And I won't say everybody's miserable, but there is a low morale problem going around the locker room. And it takes one guy to stand up and say, you know what, I don't need this. I'm leaving. I made the decision to leave, and I'm going to be just fine without them. Once people see that, it starts to raise eyebrows. And all of a sudden, now it becomes an option. If Matt Hardy had done it, Matt Hardy might have been somewhat of an option for people to look to. But then again, Matt Hardy was fired. Christian, just point blank, he was the reason why he no longer works there. He was the one who made the decision to leave. And it's got to shake some people up. Because one of the things about the wrestling industry that we like to do is we like to tell ourselves that everything is about money. Everything is about money. That's why people go to the WWE, because it's about the money. All right, well, if it's about the money, well, let me ask you this. Why would you go to a company that is going to take your character, not use it correctly, probably not use you correctly, and then in the end make you leave without any persona, gimmick, or name that you worked on for years while with them? How is that making money? Sure, there's short-term money, and there's money right there on the table, but long-term, you're really killing yourself and losing any marketing that you could use for yourself, because WWE is going to keep the name from you. Look at the Dudley Boys. Thank goodness that the Dudley Boys had enough of a reputation that they didn't need the name the Dudley Boys to truly, I mean, obviously it would be better if they had it, but they didn't need it in order for people to know who they are. WWE doesn't care about that. So when people talk about it being about the money, it always makes me laugh, because they never further explain the statement by saying that it's about short-term money in their situation, because that's what it is. To go to WWE, knowing some of the things that people know nowadays, especially when they're used incorrectly and they re-sign their contract again, you're not choosing money, you're choosing short-term money. In essence and in reality, if you really look at it, long-term, you're taking money out of your own pocket. To me, really, if you're not being used right by a promotion, to re-sign with them doesn't make any sense to me. Because in wrestling, and basically in anything you do in your life, it's all about your name and your reputation. If you allow a company to eat away at your reputation, to eat away at your character, to eat away at the bread and butter of what it is that you're in this industry for, which is to portray the character that you want the fans to relate to, if that is what you're in the industry for, and you're in professional wrestling to get this character over, and you let a company kind of, you know, squash that character, but you justify it by thinking you're getting a big paycheck, it's not making any sense, because long-term, you're not going to have that character. And if you don't have that character long-term, you can't make money long-term. And if you can't make money long-term, well, you're going to be losing a lot more money than you're making in that one paycheck from Vince McMahon, and that's my opinion on that. But with Christian leaving, I mean, again, as I said before, this kind of opens the floodgates. Now people look at it as a viable option. Now there's the Chris Benoit rumors, and there's all these other rumors starting to pop up about people who are not happy with their WWE run. So it's going to be very interesting to see how WWE plays into this, see if they finally do acknowledge that maybe they have to be a little bit nicer, maybe a couple more smiles on their faces, maybe let a couple of guys, you know, slide if they're wearing jeans on the way to the airport or something stupid like that. But WWE really has to lighten up at this point, because it's definitely no longer a buyer's market in the sense of the word. Christian leaving sent a lot of signals to a lot of people that, you know, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Or I guess we could just play the clip. I mean, we're on the radio, so.
I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
There it is. All right, beautiful. Yeah, now, that's insane. And we all know all about insanity because you're listening to WorldWrestlingInsanity.com's Radio Free Insanity. So insanity is all over the place. Well, that's why we allow you guys the right to vote each week for the moment of insanity. For those of you who haven't listened to the show before, our readers vote for what they call the moment of insanity. They look back on the week of wrestling and they find the craziest thing that happened and they vote for it, either by email at insanity@WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. They go to the message boards, they vote there in the James Gutman's World Wrestling Insanity folder, or, well, there is no or, it's those two things. You can either vote by email, or you can vote in the message board. I guess you could always do smoke signals, but, you know, fucked if I could read them. Anyway, so what they do is you guys go in, you vote for the moment of insanity, and each week we talk about it right here. It's the craziest thing for professional wrestling's week, and you know what's funny is that in wrestling there's never a shortage of moment of insanities or moments of insanity or however the hell we could possibly say that term without sounding stupid, which I have now done twice. So without further ado, guys, this is what you voted for this week. So here it is, this week's moment of insanity.
All right, JR. Time for your colon surgery, and everyone around, I'm Dr. Heine. I want you to meet Nurse Slobberknockers.
What? For fear is only a four-letter word.
The world's largest love machine, Viscera.
As voted by you, the readers of WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, it's this week's Moment of Insanity.
Hey, what happened?
Whoa, before you get started, I have something to say.
Yeah, so there it is. This week's moment of insanity definitely sucks, or doesn't suck, however you want to look at it. What it was Kurt Angle coming out early on Monday Night Raw, fed up with the audience chanting, "You suck," during his theme song. So Kurt Angle went to Eric Bischoff, Uncle Eric number 2 on our names that invite abuse list, and he said, "Eric, you got to stop the crowd from chanting, 'You suck' at me." So Eric Bischoff told him, I got your back, man. I will take care of it. That way we have a main event match tonight." So what did Eric Bischoff do? Well, when Kurt Angle came out for his match, when the crowd would chant, "You suck," at specific parts of the song, they bleeped the audience. They bleeped them. Censored them. Alright. Now, here's the problem with this. First of all, Kurt Angle wasn't watching his entrance on television. Kurt Angle was actually, living his entrance at the moment. He was physically walking out to the ring, coming out. Therefore, he didn't hear the censoring. There was no beeps in his ear, unless he's got mental issues. He heard the crowd chanting, "You suck." However, Angle proceeded to walk down the ramp with a big smile on his face as if he had just won some sort of moral victory and couldn't hear the audience. Yeah, this whole thing was just stupid. Just to give you guys an idea, there's a number of angles you can look at with this particular situation. I've looked at them, all the angles on this one, just so we could try to figure out where the hell they were coming from. Here's what I got from it, and here's the closest I can get to some sort of normalcy. Kurt Angle went to Eric Bischoff and said, "You have got to stop the crowd from chanting, 'You suck.'" A lot of us assumed, rightfully so, and again, I want to point out this explanation that I'm giving is not an official explanation. In all probability, this is the exact opposite of what WWE is presenting. However, they didn't make any effort to explain it, so I'm going to do this for you guys as a public service announcement. It's the best I could do to really help this make sense. So here's the James Gutman made-up reason why Kurt Angle was pretending like he heard the censoring. Angle went to Eric Bischoff. We all assume that he didn't want to hear the crowd chanting, "You suck." Here's what I say. I say Angle was embarrassed that people at home were hearing it. Why it took him 5 years or 4 years to figure out that it was embarrassing that people chant, "You suck." It's been going on since, Edge and Christian with the kazoos. Why he decided now this was a big deal is anyone's guess. He's a weirdo, so whatever. So Angle doesn't want to hear "You suck" anymore, so he went to Bischoff. Bischoff tells him, "Look, here's what I'll do." He tells him off camera, obviously. I will put beeps in there. I will censor the crowd so that people watching at home cannot hear what the crowd is chanting at you. And that's what happened. Unfortunately, I don't think WWE had that mindset. I think WWE just looked at it like, "And then when you come out, we'll play beeps, and you pretend like you hear it." So Angle did that. It was insane, and it was stupid. And I'll tell you guys, in wrestling, there's certain situations that do pop up where it's not a matter of faulty storytelling. And it's not a matter of, a misstep or a mistake or a wrestler being too green. Sometimes in wrestling, people tend to follow common sense. I didn't get it on Monday. I don't get it now. I do not understand how Kurt Angle walked out to the ring and never said to himself, "Wait a minute, I don't hear the beeps. This is going to look stupid." No, he didn't. I guess maybe he thought it and didn't say anything. Maybe he's just tired. Maybe he just didn't give a shit. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you guys anymore. All I know is Kurt Angle came out to the ring. The crowd was chanting, "You suck." Obviously, he could hear it. We heard beeps over his music, but he still reacted as if the crowd had been censored. Not only that, but it was stupid. It was a really dumb thing. It wasn't to the point where this isn't the year 2001 anymore. It's not early on in Kurt Angle's run. At this point, he should be just used to it. And if he's not used to it, he should at least explain to us why he had a big t-shirt that said, "You suck," on it, that was marketed for him, that he wore. It just doesn't make any sense to have a guy all of a sudden flip out about a thing that had become pretty much commonplace during all of his entrances. But not only that, but have the solution be something so stupid as to put beeps over the crowd chanting, "You suck." It just didn't make any sense. And I think that this is a scary situation because this is a lot like WWE from a few weeks ago where Vince McMahon fired the audience. It's another case of World Wrestling Entertainment having an issue with its crowds and having an issue with its fans and wanting to show in a roundabout way we have control over you. I mean, make no mistake about it. I know a lot of people think it's paranoia, but honest to God, guys, a lot of things done in WWE that appear to be done for ulterior motives usually are done for ulterior motives. You have to remember, this is still a form of art, and I know it sounds silly to people who aren't really hardcore wrestling fans, but wrestling is the art of storytelling. And when I say art, it's the sense of, if I were to write a short story, okay, a fictional short story on my behalf, I would probably add little things in there, that would either get some sort of agenda across. I won't say agenda, but if I feel a certain way about something, or I felt strongly about a situation that presented itself in my work, that I could parody it, or I could make mention of it, or I can allude to it, I would do that. That's what making a piece of art like this is all about. And WWE is aware of that. And story writing in WWE is art to them. It allows them the chance to take little jabs at people, but not only that, it also allows them the chance to speak their mind about a lot of things. This has been brought up too. Matt Stryker is on WWE.com going off on minorities and making racist comments, and people are starting to see through things like that, saying, you know, this is, although it's a gimmick and it's an angle, it's kind of insulting because it's almost like WWE is venting, or people who are behind the behind the curtain, I don't know how else you're going to put it, but people who are pulling the strings are trying to get their own personal thoughts across through their work, and that's what WWE does. And I definitely think that Kurt Angle's entrance, when coupled with Vince McMahon's firing of the audience, when coupled with the fact that Jim Ross was let go and then mocked so heavily on the next episode, I think it was all in response. It was also in response to bringing in Joey Styles, a guy that they did not want to bring in to Monday Night Raw. They had to bring him in on Monday to replace Jim Ross. So, of course, later on in the show, they were going to do something to the effect of, look, we're censoring the crowd. Look, you guys made us hire Joey Styles, but you know why? We still have final control. Beep, beep. Really just a childish, stupid, stupid thing to do. Now, I'm sure there's going to be people out there going to be like, you know, dude, stop being so goddamn paranoid. They were just doing a stupid angle. Well, okay, if it wasn't done for that reason, and it wasn't done for ulterior motives, why the hell was it done? You don't know, because there is no reason. So here are your two reasons. Either WWE was trying to send a message to its fans, or WWE was just doing shit for the sake of doing shit. In my opinion, I definitely think it was an ulterior motive. Based on other things that WWE has done recently, based on the week it was, based on the problems they've had with Jim Ross ever since he left with Steve Austin, and the debacle that was Taboo Tuesday with Vader and Goldust, who are now gone and wished into the cornfield by Anthony from the Twilight Zone, WWE now has a lot of aggression to get out, and that aggression is aimed at you, the fans, because you are the reason why a lot of these things have happened. You are the reason why WWE is kind of chasing its tail at this point, worried about some of the things they did. We've gotten to the point now where for years, World Wrestling Entertainment would say, you know, the internet is such a small percentage of fans. The smart marks, as they call you guys and they call us, are just such a small percentage of fans. But WWE is now reaching the point where they have eroded a lot of their mainstream clientele, that now when they start to piss people off, they're finally starting to cut into their hardcore fan base, and that's a scary thought. And World Wrestling Entertainment really is not realizing that. They're not working with that. They're not looking at it and saying, you know, holy crap, we have got to keep these guys around. I think this week was the first time that they really had to do something that they didn't want to do in an effort to save a lot of fans, and they brought in Joey Styles. One Joey showing up, and I got to tell you guys, I ripped on Joey for a lot of things he did, but I am still concerned over the fact that he's got to sell such a crappy show. But I think Joey Styles does have a talent for what he does, and if allowed to be himself, and hopefully he'll be able to pull Coachman up a little bit, but I definitely think Joey Styles is a sitting duck, and I think they're going to try to screw him too. But they're bringing Joey Styles in. Was almost a direct response to the fans who got all upset about Jim Ross. So, of course, Vince McMahon, upset about this, decided to censor the audience symbolically on Monday to kind of show them who was boss. I mean, that's, if you look at it really from a rational point of view, and you couple it with the last few weeks and the Jim Ross skit and pulling stuff out of his ass and, you know, a few weeks back firing the audience, Vince McMahon definitely is trying to send some messages to people, and I definitely think that that's what this was. But you guys voted for it, too, for whatever reasons. Kurt Angle, that crazy guy having to do so many crazy things. Also, I forgot to mention, too, Antoine actually pointed this out in the thread. Kurt Angle blamed the audience for his wife leaving him as well right beforehand, which I got to tell you guys, nothing personally against Kurt Angle. Other people have done this, too. I'm a firm believer that in this business, you keep your family and you keep the business separate. You have to do that. And to go on TV and to use it, not even to further an angle. It wasn't as if Kurt Angle was doing a feud with somebody, and somebody came out and goes, well, your wife left you. My wife left me, you son of a bitch, you know, and then they fight, and blah, blah, blah. It wasn't like that. Kurt Angle kind of just said it just to get heat, which didn't really make any sense. He blamed the audience for not seeing his daughter take her first steps, which is, you know, not my fault, Kurt, it's your fault. But he also blamed them for his wife leaving him and his family falling apart. And, I don't know, very, very uncomfortable. One of those situations like, you know, Eddie Guerrero, like, you know, I would have died, Holmes. You know, I got it. You would have died. It's not my problem. And I'm not the one who had anything to do with it. You know, you made the choices you made. So I thought it was kind of in bad taste for Kurt Angle to use that to his advantage. But that was just another part of, you know, the insanity that was Kurt Angle. All right. Ghostface Billa says, I'm sorry, but the censoring of the crowd wins it for me. How the hell is that supposed to work? Is Angle watching the match? Are they setting Are they sending off thousands of air horns? Is this match taking place in Magic Crazy Land? I mean, come on. Even the announcers got confused with that. The best was Styles at the end, saying the crowd at home couldn't hear and having to be corrected. Nuts. N-U-T-S. Nuts! Yeah, well, Mike Nicolau actually explained, I think Angle, the character, may have just been hamming it up to make it appear to the people at home that he couldn't hear the chants. Nah, that couldn't be it. Eric never would have, never ever told him what he was going to do. He just said he'd take care of it. Shrugs. See, exactly, but that's why you got to say, well, maybe off camera he said something to him. Although, again, it's us trying to... It's us trying to explain WWE's angles away. But yeah, this was definitely a bad week. I got some emails on this too. With that particular situation, a lot of people just confused as to what the hell was going on. But there you have it, guys. That's this week's Moment of Insanity. It is Kurt Angle magically hearing beeps in his head and knowing that the crowd was censored and reacting accordingly, even though it was obviously something done on video afterwards. So there you have it, guys. Remember, voting starts now for next week's Moment of Insanity. Go to the message boards. Go to James Gutman's World Wrestling Insanity forum and vote away. Maybe next week we could read out your rants and hopefully, well, you vote for a win. So there you have it, guys. So without further ado, we're going to go on to part two, and we are going to take a listen, and we're going to be joined on the phone by Matt Morgan with a big announcement, so don't go away.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.